took it to the floor to balance our budget, not abruptly. It could be done somewhat abruptly if we had any discipline at all. But this was over 10 years, Randy, and I had a third of the Republicans there voting against it. Of course, every Democrat did. It would have been the defense hawks and the neocons that didn't want to say they would balance a budget with 10 years to do it.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95.
Hey, Governor, how are you doing today?
Very good.
You know, we haven't spoken since IU became national champions. I saw you and Marine were down there. How does it feel to be the only governor serving when IU football won a national championship? Now, I'm sure you had something to do with that.
Well, we're going to say that that had a direct causal relationship. and it's one of those rare kind of occurrences where you're happy to be in the right place at the right time. And that's an amazing story that still have trouble thinking it played out over those 2 years and ended with the Cinderella ending. So it was unbelievable.
Now, I assume Governor DeSantis has sent the key lime pie. Is that here yet?
He did that, and that has been fully consumed. It took a few weeks to get up here, and the irony is we got about a gallon worth of stone crabs, and that is a lot more labor-intensive than a tenderloin sandwich would be. It took me an hour, and my son came over last night to visit, and if it hadn't been for him, it would have taken more than an hour to actually crack the claws and extract the meat.
Boy, I have heard that's kind of dangerous if you slip.
I mean, it could be, because those things are sharp.
Boy, they sure are. Well, I also saw that you and Marine were at the Diaper Donation Center recently in the Indiana Diaper Bank. Did I see this right? Over the last 8 years, something like 20 million diapers have been donated and distributed?
I mean, it's amazing the number, and then each state seems to have some kind of a charitable organization that works with maybe the state government as a high priority. And I guess in the days of not having disposable diapers, it was very labor intensive. Now it's expensive just to go the other route. And I was just surprised what we have done in our state, the number of them that do get donated. And, you know, other states have built kind of a state policy, state agencies, along with a lot of charitable help to weigh in there as well.
That's great. Well, I know that public safety is a key point to your administration, and I just wanted to ask you, what are some things that you guys have been tackling?
What is important, probably nothing more important than the Indiana State Police Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force has been responsible for the arrests of hundreds of child predators and rescuing 126 children in 25 alone. I'm putting a big emphasis on public safety, and the ICAC task force is increased by 50 law enforcement officers as well. So we're kind of putting resources where we said we would. And, you know, here was something in terms of just what does that mean? In 24, data's not fully in 25, it was a 38% increase in 25. It is just in compared to 24. In other words, there were 29,600 and some tips phoned in. Sad to think that that was a 38% increase, because that means it's just getting out there. Mm-hmm. Weigh in, speak up. Total number of investigations over 3,000, number of arrests around 500, number of children rescued from ongoing abuse 126.
That's great.
So already in 26, the ICAC has received nearly 3,000 tips. That's a 29% increase over what I just told you. So that means there's a lot of it out there, and maybe due to just not knowing where to go, what we were encouraging through state law enforcement, we're bringing a lot more of this to the forefront. I'm proud of the state police on what they've done there.
I agree completely. And I read in a statement you made recently that nothing is more important than keeping the Hoosier kids safe. And as a father of two kids myself, that is outstanding. Can you detail how we are holding big tech companies accountable through the social media parental safeguards?
Well, if you've been watching a tragic case of our own Haley Busby, who lives in Fishers, that had for up to a year a relationship with this predator from Ohio on a gaming app. Technology sophisticated enough that most parents probably wouldn't know how to even operate within it. It was a good family. You know, she was a great student. No signs of it. And to think that it had gone on for a year till he was able to lure her out and ended up, finding her remains in Ohio. He is admitted to the relationship, but not to the murder. And just the tragedy to think that can happen to a kid from Fishers, Indiana. And even once she had left, it took the father time to do a lot of the initial work on scanning the neighborhood to get a case going. And diligent in what he did to get it to where they at least got some resolution. But big tech, you know, when they're putting profits over protection, they can fix all these social media apps to where you can't use them. And when the predators and even the prey are going to be more sophisticated with those tools than parents, something's got to give. I'm asking for them to fix it inherently, not for us to have to trial and error through legislation, even though we're going to need to do as much as we can to weigh in. But I've been very clear, we need to put parents in charge to where they can get involved in these apps, to where we legislatively let them do that, or else we'll have more of it.
Can you elaborate on Senate Bill 199? Is there anything our listeners can do to collectively help?
It is the bill that's trying to put this first year, even though we've gotten to it somewhat late, precipitated by the Busby case. This is just the beginning, but call in, talk to your legislators, tell them to be bold. Session's about over. I think we're going to get a decent product out there. If it would really go to the heart of it, then I think we'd get sued by big tech and other entities that would go to kind of freedom of speech and that kind of stuff. Here, I think, again, as I weigh in on this, big tech is going to have to be held responsible for it. They're protected by something most people may not even know about. It's a 230 clause protecting them from liability that was done at the federal level when the Internet was started. Something's going to have to give there because it's given them a shell of protection on a broad array of stuff, this included.
Yeah, that sounds kind of antiquated at this juncture when the Internet was created.
Yes, it does.
You know, I also know they just kind of, you just finished a press conference highlighting Indiana's leadership in a national state-driven effort to address the federal debt. I actually tried to write it down on my piece of paper but ran out of room for the zeros. So can you kind of tell me a little bit what the Indiana Senate is doing as well as the House?
So when I was in the Senate, one of the proudest things I did was passed unanimously U.S. Senate Resolution 600. And it, interestingly, was kind of founded upon an Admiral Mike Mullins, who basically said it is a national security risk and almost extrapolated that into he feared the red ink more than the red menace, because so often the military, which is the one thing the Constitution says the federal government has to do, is held completely unaccountable. They haven't passed their audits across the board in terms of financial integrity for years and years. They waste as much money as the domestic side. The other thing I did when I was in the Senate is a privileged motion. I took it to the floor to balance our budget, not abruptly. It could be done somewhat abruptly if we had any discipline at all. But this was over 10 years, Randy, and I had a third of the Republicans there voting against it. Of course, every Democrat did. It would have been the defense hawks and the neocons that didn't want to say they would balance a budget with 10 years to do it. I mean, you could almost do that using Rand Paul's penny plan. Just start reducing spending 1% a year, and then do not add any new spending unless you've raised taxes to do it. Well, that'll never raise taxes because politically that doesn't work. Shamefully, we borrow from our kids and grandkids. So Elise Nishala has been a stalwart as our Indiana State Comptroller, and she did this, put this together. And we had the head of ALEC in here, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that has really been on this for a long time. We've been running unbalanced budgets since the late 90s.
Wow.
I was on the budget committee, do a resolution that would say aspirationally, we don't want to spend more than we take in. It's now routine. Both sides of the aisle have been part of it, that we're going to borrow $1.5 trillion to now nearly $2 trillion a year. The Medicare trust fund's ready to go broke in 4 years. Social Security in about 8. Highway trust fund has not had any money in it for a long time. We'll probably borrow to backfill to pay those benefits, but the news is interest is now $1 trillion a year. That equals what we spend on defense or Medicare. And that is now 1/6 to 1/7 of our budget, the interest we pay on it. Something's got to give. This was one state of Indiana, with Lisa's leadership and mine highlighting that. Hopefully that'll resonate, cascade across the country.
Well, all we can do, I guess, is lead by example in that regard.
And that would have been Senate Resolution 51 that's been introduced, Daryl Schmidt, and it's been introduced in the House currently. I'm not sure what the number is on it, but they're going to both come around and be for it. And that Senate Resolution 51, ALEC has adopted as a national kind of emblem on what other states need to do. So House Resolution 28 is getting ready to be approved by our own House of Representatives. And I, along with more than a handful of governors, are now starting to shout about it too.
I'm glad that our state of Indiana is led by somebody who's fiscally conservative. I mean, once again, we've beat it to a drum, but it's because of your backstory in small business.
Definitely. And it's sad how quickly this has amounted, because Reagan gets elected. He did cut taxes without attending to spending. That gave the spenders the legitimacy to do what's happened since 80. But it was hundreds of millions, tens of billions, which would be rounding errors now compared to $2 trillion annual deficits. But from his time till 2000, when W got elected with two wars on the credit card, we went to $5 trillion in those 20 years. W went from 5 to 10. Obama took it from 10 to 16. Then we're running structural deficits of $1 trillion. I get there in 18. That is how we were under half what we are now under the administrations of Biden, who put it on steroids. Trump inherited some of it from Obama, but now the whole federal government, just both sides of the aisle, kind of got used to this is the new norm. That's got to change.
Well, I hope our listeners can certainly help in that regard. This last question, Governor, is kind of self-serving, but my son asked me a question. He knows that I was interviewing today. He was inquisitive. If you got hungry, your Marine just decided you wanted to go out and have a nice dinner, how does that work?
Well, we're lucky enough to live in a place where we can still do it without getting mobbed. And we do it at a bunch of great restaurants in Jasper, and I do here in Indy. And I try to get a corner where I'll be out of the limelight. That's how it works.
I get to thinking back of that SNL skit with Bill Clinton running down the street, going to the McDonald's and kind of running in and running out. So he kind of cracked me up when he asked that. I thought, well, that's great. I'll ask him. So I apologize about that. That was more self-serving. But I always appreciate your time, Governor. And we're always backing you here at Freedom 95. And if there's anything else that we can do, certainly let us know. I appreciate your time. God bless you, and hope you have a great rest of your day.
I will. And thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.